Hit 107 and the Adelaide Crows present...
Hodgie Adley!
The Podscast.
Dickens, a boy! Marks turns, runs, and he kicks it!
Welcome back to the Podscast, round 22. Final home game of the home and away season.
We made it.
But plenty of home games to come. We have done it. This is almost a full season. Will we go to the finals? What do you think?
Will we?
Yeah, will we? This group here is the Podscast.
Well, same concept. If we have home finals, we have Podscasts.
I'll have to renegotiate
the contract.
We've gone over your appearance fees so far, JJ.
Well, I did miss. I was absent for one, so that's true. Can make up there. But if we have two home finals, and James and I will have to see what Mr. Ian Shuttleworth can do from a financial standpoint.
We do, of course, have JJ in the room. That's the voice you're hearing. We're going to get to his starring role on the Footy Show. Magnificent stuff. I tweeted you about that.
When were you on there?
Last week, the big comeback show of the Footy Show.
People said it was the return of Eddie. I think
they
it was
crossover, or were you live in the studio?
No, we must have been the only person in the country who didn't watch.
I haven't watched the Footy Show since.
We'll get
to it
in a minute.
17.
It was bloody good. I'm telling you, it was fantastic. We're going to talk Crows versus Swans, but let's also introduce Pods into the studio. Beck Goddard is gone. We actually ran a little late. She's got people to go and chase after with the AFP. You didn't see her down the elevator as you were crossing paths?
The money that she was supposed to get for today's show, I'll take for the finals. Done.
You're welcome to it, mate. Pods, let's quickly go into the game against Essendon.
Yep.
Brief summaries. We always don't want to talk too much footy. It's fantastic. I was there. I was in the commentary box. And from what I saw, we had huge dominant patches. And then the same for them. They had some good flow on as well, particularly Cale Hooker.
Yeah, and I think Danaher kicked three in about 5 minutes early in the second as well. But look, from our perspective, we executed what we wanted to do before the game. I mean, we knew that they're a pretty fast-moving team in attack, and they moved the ball through the corridor. I thought that our team defense in that space, to keep a team that's averaging 110 points a game in the last sort of month or so, to keep them at 80 points was a big win. And then, as we know, that when we get our hands on the ball, we can get through most opposition. So it was a good result from that perspective.
What I kept hearing in the media room that I was watching the game was that it was going back and forth like a basketball game. That kept being said.
Who were you with?
I was with Triple M.
Yep.
So I had Schwatter in there.
Oh, yep.
Who was talking about the game being incredibly frenetic. And because it's a smaller oval, it just seems to go back and forth so quickly.
Yeah.
How did you find it?
It's always a little bit like that at Etihad. But I think the sides that traditionally play there, St Kilda, Western Bulldogs, Essendon, North Melbourne, a little bit like they all have that in common. They play those perfect conditions well, and it tends to be quite fast. And we enjoy that. We've won some, we've won a few really good games in the rain this year. But we also enjoy the perfect conditions. I think all footballers enjoy playing in perfect weather.
Favorite ground, worst ground?
I do quite like it. I know a few guys. Speaking of Brad and Matt Crouch, who like the slop from Ballarat, they don't enjoy it too much, but I really love it there. just from that point of view, you get a perfect look at the ball. It does carry a bit too, so you get a few more meters on your set shots and things like that. But it was a good game to play in. It was a taxing game because it was so fast, but it was very enjoyable.
What's your least favourite ground? It's got to be Hobart, surely. Or
well, considering that,
yeah, I've
played there twice actually, and we're 0-2. So yeah, that would be up there.
I wanted to get some advice from you after the game. In fact, just in the last moments, I left the box and I went down and I said I want to sit with the home fans to sing the song, the travelling fans.
Yep.
And I went there and I thought I'd go wave hello to Brody or Rat,
yep,
two of the guys I know somewhat well.
They give you nothing?
And this is what happened. They walked at me with the footies and I thought, I'm going to get a footy. I'm dead set on. I've always wanted one of those things. Never got one as a kid. Smithers walked towards me. I said, Broads, Smitty, Smithers, Smithers. Broads, nothing.
He's just come up with best on ground performance.
That's the thing. He was hot that game. Yeah. So I thought I'd have a word with everybody and go, look, I'm actually friends with him. Walked straight past me, gave the football to a kid next to me. Another bloke wanted to get a footy and he was furious that he didn't get it. Mm. Now, I want to know from you, for any fan listening, what is JJ's guide to getting a footy post-game? What are you looking for? What are you not looking for?
This should be the top four. Top four are... actions of young kids looking for a football. I just catch eye contact with a young fella who is staring straight at me with both arms out, usually Superman pose, and usually you've got to be near the race too, because I don't venture too far from the race.
You're not going to put that much work in.
Nah, let Sloaney and those guys do that. They run up the other end of the field. But I used to throw it up in the crowd, and I've got a warning about being fined for doing that, which is a little bit dangerous, I do understand, but I'd be a little bit flat if I got fined for throwing a footy into the crowd.
Just to a sick kid up the back.
Yeah, but funnily enough, I threw my footy from about 5 or 10 metres to a young kid, and an older fella actually.
You don't really want to get up and close to the crowd, JJ?
Well, I was going to, but I had a Gatorade in mind as well, so I wanted to kill two birds, so I sort of threw it, and an older fella leant across and grabbed it sort of in front of the kid, and I felt horrible, and the kid was absolutely mortified, and I sort of kept watching him, and he was borderline tears, and I went looking for another footy, but the lady who had the bag of footies was gone. So if that young man is listening, I'm sorry, and that man was very
please
rude
give,
to do
please
that.
Please give JJ Cole an 0425. No.
I'll tell you what. What about this? If I looked at you, and what would you rather hear? Mr. Jenkins? Josh? JJ? Oi!
Yes, hey, Gronk! Gronk!
No, the what you call out is irrelevant, Amos, as you will have.
Because I didn't think Brody could hear me, or do you think he did hear me and he walked past? Because he reckons, I've said to him before, why don't you look at me? And he goes, mate, you learn to block everything out. Mm. Now, I've seen you when you're walking around Adelaide Oval, you come through the dressing rooms, you're heading up to the race, people are yelling out to you, pods, 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 selfie, selfie, pods, pods. Do you hear it, or are you just in a zone and you're like, I've got no time for this, I need to go?
You hear some. You're generally going about your business. You don't really, particularly if the game's about to start or it's quarter time, you're just sort of kind of thinking about something and you're not really.
Yeah, I suppose taking you too do much hear in. It, but yeah, you've got some internal thoughts you're trying to deal with at the same time. But, so some of it's outside noise, and sometimes it's a little bit embarrassing too.
But now, as a coach,
you want to stop. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. As a coach, it's like you still get it, but it's kind of embarrassing that you don't want to. You kind of think, well, let the current crop and let the current.
Surely you still like someone going, can I get a selfie with you?
Obviously, this industry that we're in, you've got a profile, so people support the club and they support you as an individual. So I'm always happy to get involved in a selfie or a photo. I mean, that's what the game's about.
Yeah, good to see, Pods, because you're still loved. You know, people still love seeing
thanks,
the big
mate.
Man walk around.
Thanks,
I don't want you to get down yourself. You know, you're still a big star. It hasn't been that many years since you graced the Adelaide Oval.
It's it's quickly.
Just trying to get you to say you miss it.
No, well, I think every retired player misses playing footy, but at no point in time do I wish I was back there.
I want to talk the All Australian team provisional that was given out by AFL.com. They said these are the players who are in the mix. I'll just read us the ones from our team and then give us your thoughts on this. So Eddie Betts, Matt Crouch, Sam Jacobs, Rory Laird, Jake Leavitt, Tom Lynch, Rory Sloane. First question: who's stiff not to be on there?
I think Brody Smith's had a pretty good year.
I think Walker's stiff not to be in there. There was some harsh criticism.
Who are the key forwards
him.
That would, you know, have you got that in front of you?
I know Brown is in the mix. I know Danaher's in the mix. I know Josh Kennedy will be in the mix, and Buddy. But Tex is about fifth in the Coleman, leads the goal assists.
Probably having his best year.
Yeah, so he's unlucky. He certainly, I would think, be in the squad. Brody Smith's pretty unlucky. When we play well, he generally plays well, and we've played well a fair bit. So do the math. In terms of the 22, we should be well represented. You'd like to think Rory Ladd will finally get the nod this year.
Name that stands out to me here, a couple. One, Sam Jacobs seems to be quite an underrated. He just goes and beats his opponent, doesn't he? I mean,
he's having a very good year, Sammy.
He's looking good. And Matt Crouch, of course, there was a lot of noise, and I was one of those people. Probably if you go back to podcast episode one, I did say to you, Pods, where's our midfield? We've happened to lose that grab. I'm quite happy about that. But I said, who's the midfield? Didn't get Bryce Gibbs. So, you know, fans are going, who's going to step up? How good has he been?
Sensational.
You can see he's a perfect example that if you do your work and work on your craft from day one, he's a guy that's just worked his craft really well, works a lot with Scott Camporelli on vision and what to do with his body work and that. And he's just progressively got better every year. It's not as if he's just like burst onto the scene and going, who's this kid? But every year we've seen that his development has improved, and he's got to a point now he's, you know, one of the better midfielders in the competition, which is great for guys like his brother Brad, Sloaney, Dougie, to have a guy like that around him.
I wanted to bring up another topic here about farewell games. I saw this through the media. One of them was about Zach Dawson not going to get a farewell game. thought Ross, given he loved him so much, might give him, you know, given that they're not playing finals, might trot out his...
That, if you were talking about... That's not who I would have thought you would throw up first, but...
I will get to Gibbo.
You want to head west, that's fine.
We'll get to Josh Gibson, but Zach Dawson, a particular favourite of mine through the years, right up there with Dennis Armfield. But Gibbo, he said he doesn't want it. Doesn't feel like, you know, he's earned it, might as well play a youngster.
Yeah.
And so I think his exact words were, look, I've won 4 flags... Pretty sure I'll treasure those memories. I don't really personally need that last walk around and I played a final game. My perspective of it is, though, I think it's a little bit about the player, a little bit about the fans getting to go. Look, I've got friends flying who are St Kilda fans flying over for Riewoldt's last game because it means a lot to them because they want to go see it. Yep. How do you guys feel about the farewell game?
I haven't been... Well, Pod, you've played in... Retired,
I've played with some people that have had that. It's tough because right now, as an industry, we actually are really pumping up individuals within the industry. And they, more than ever, those individuals have got a bigger profile. So fans and supporters want to say goodbye to these players. I get that. But at the end of the day, we actually play a team sport. So forgive someone a farewell game that's not already in a team. You're not... doing the right thing by the club because it's potentially a young guy or a guy that's in better form or a guy that's going to be back there next year playing that in that game. So I'm not a massive fan of farewell games. If it happens to be that they're in the best 22 and they play and it's their last game, well, all for it. But I'm more about the team, to be honest.
Well, that pretty much answers my next question, which was going to be Tomo's, of course, finishing up this season. He's playing reserves. He had one game a few weeks back.
Yep.
If we secure the top two, let's say we secure a top, we've got one game left. Would it never enter a coach's mind, look, he's doing pretty well, it's his final game, let's give him a chance?
No, I can't speak for Pikey. I mean, he's the chairman of the match committee and he'll pick the team at the end of the week. But from our perspective, I think we've worked really hard over the last 4 years I've been here and the last 2 years that Pikey's been here about having a culture where the team comes first. Mm-hmm. And I think our guys embrace that. And I think that would probably be going away from what we're trying to do.
The good thing is, Tomo's a chance, exactly. I would think, to play on merit, which would be great for him to play on his merits. But yeah, I can absolutely see and be happy to roll with both sides of, you know, particularly when you make the point about the fans wanting to get that opportunity. But yeah, it's a good
point there, though, because if you did say to Tomo, oh, look, mate, well, you know, we're going to give you this farewell game, he might go, well, hold on, what if there's injuries? What if we go through the finals? I still give myself a shot at playing in general. If you're still a competitive minded person, maybe you don't want to be handed something on a platter.
Perhaps if you're outside the eight and you know it's your last game, maybe. But then again, that's the opportunity, the time of the year when you like to play young fellas as well. So yeah, I can see both sides of it.
To Josh Gibson's point, like the fans, are they going to remember his last game? Or are they going to remember the fact that he was 2-time best and fairest winner and 3 premierships? Are they going to remember Tomo's 300 games where he was in an under pressure tackle player, used the ball really well? Is that what they're going to remember, or they're going to remember his last game?
They'll remember him in the ute, mate. Grand final day, going around the back of a Hilux.
Yeah, well,
bump into him on the street. It's a small town. Go and bump into him on the street and say thanks for everything.
When you do retire, you go get another career. We always think of old footballs, particularly when you're a kid, you go, God, he's ancient, you know. Look at him retiring at 33, he's an old man. And then you get to an older age and you go, God, you're basically a baby by the time
you're... 40
years
of working life to go, yeah.
You retire. Joe Watson's got a cafe in New York City. That's where he's off to. He's going to develop that. Sounds like a great life.
Yeah.
Any other quirky ones you know of ex-players who have opened up businesses? I mean, everyone seems to go for the pub option. What do you want to do?
Career.
Yeah, during the career.
I don't know of too many quirky. On Job, I actually bumped into him in New York. I might have raised this before, but bumped into him walking the streets of New York, which is hard to do. He's got a girlfriend. I need to straighten that story up. He's got a girlfriend over there. So I think the girlfriend
is
dragging him across to New York a little bit more than the cafe. But I believe he's actually purchased or taken a share in the cafe. So
anything you... I mean, you've obviously, your post-career is in footy.
Yep.
If you weren't in footy, is there something...
No, I think it's actually a good thing to talk about because I think it's a pretty hot topic in the AFL at the moment. How do you actually transition players out of the game? And the one skill that we do have as players, we actually know footy. So that's why a coaching progression is a bit of a no-brainer to some of our players coming in, and especially if you're able to teach the game. Because most players, by the end of their career, know the game, but the next point is being able to teach it to the next generation. So I think there's probably some some education that can happen in that space. But also, there's some probably players that get to the end of their career and are a little bit lost on what they want to do because they've been told where to be at what time, what to do for the last 10, 15 or so years. So it's pretty hard. And not unlike the NFL or baseball or NBA, they're not financially, I suppose.
You're not set for life immediately.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're in a pretty good position. They should, you know, most players that have an average or above average gear have a house paid off and all that sort of stuff. But you still need a job. But we can do things a lot better as an industry.
A benefit of working in the AFL, though, is, I mean, I was in Melbourne over the weekend. I was staying at a friend's place in Flemington, and he lives above Pagan Real Estate. And I went, oh, I wonder if it is. And yeah. I drive past, and there he is. He's sitting in the bloody. It he's is. Sitting downstairs. There's Pagan.
Yeah, I think his son's
selling paddocks, big land blocks. Yeah. And I looked at that and I went, that's what you do getting footy, though. If you're smart about it, particularly here in Adelaide, very parochial town, surely you guys are telling players, if you get into a business, this town will support you.
Yeah, and you do get enormous, as a player and a coach, even, you get enormous benefits from contacts and sponsors. We have some amazingly competent businessmen around the club. So if you're smart enough to weasel
into the Hurley group,
the worst thing you can do is learn some skills from them. I did think of one player who has gone with a different type of Warwick Kappa. Does come and stay at Wazza's place for the weekend? It's quite an expensive weekend, but
I'll tell you about Warwick Kappa.
That's certainly a different career path.
He's called us before and said, any chance you want to get the whiz on? And we said, absolutely. We go, we've got $50 for you. He goes, it's going to be 200. We said, no, worry about it. He goes, 50 it is.
Oh, I can just imagine it.
But most players, I think there's a fair few players at our club and on our other clubs as well that do some sort of education. So JJ, I know, is doing a degree in media journalism.
Boots on the ground. Boots on the ground experience now.
Yeah, okay.
I'd recommend that to you too, mate. If you want to do it, do it.
Yeah, but God's honour, that's why I decided to just park the tertiary education. Yeah. And they said just get some more experience. But yeah, a lot of guys, there's a lot of guys doing business courses and marketing courses, all sorts of courses. And the AFLPA is sensational with putting guys into that.
Funding that.
Let's change gears. I tweeted you. I think it was one of the first tweets I've ever sent you.
I favoured it and or liked it. Whatever the correct
I forget what the tweet was, but I said something along the lines of Josh Jenkins, classic, very, very funny.
Stole the show or something.
It was. You stole the show.
Now, Lynchy's ringing me at the wrong time, as always.
For those who didn't see it, and Lynchy is your offside.
Draft, isn't
speaking
he?
Of Lynchy, yeah, he's thinking about his NFL fantasy draft.
We'll talk about
of
that,
which yeah. I defeated him in the grand final last year.
You guys were a great duo. In the,
what would you call it a duo?
I would say that, you know, you were Hamish, he was Andy. So he set you up for a few and you just knocked him out of the ballpark. If you don't know what happened, the footy show launched, Eddie McGuire was back, and they put this segment on called Footy Box. Now, Gogglebox is a show, I don't know if you've seen it, Pods, where regular people just watch telly and then they comment on The Bachelor, like, oh, look at her, she's a bit opinionated, isn't she? And when you're watching The Bachelor, she's hot, and they cut that all together. And this time they got footy players on the couch watching footy shows.
Right.
And you got to hear how they felt
so
about
JJ
it.
So JJ and Lynchy on the same couch.
JJ and Lynchy on a couch. First question.
I've got to see vision of that.
Why you two and whose house was it?
It was my house. Tom has two maniacs running around his land room, so we didn't do it at his place. We are complete opposites, but somehow they say it attracts. So we hang out a fair bit, and I thought it made for pretty good viewing.
Will you do it again?
Well, if they ask us, we actually, funny thing was that the segment only went for about 2 minutes, not even, and we sat and watched 45 minutes of content. So there's a lot of stuff there. Hannah sat and watched us, my partner, and said, oh, that was shocking. And I said, no, you watch the entirety. Once they sort of do grabs and stuff, it'll come out well. So I thought, along with the Hawks boys and the Collingwood boys, I thought it went well.
It was very, very good. And like you said, it was a good opportunity for players to express their personality. And I'm going to play a couple of your highlights. Some of your bits. First one is you with Footy Classified. This is what you had to say about Footy Classified. Oh. Get that back up.
There's a compelling argument that they are now.
One of my favourites, this one.
Who's your favourite?
Hutchie.
There's a compelling argument that they are now the biggest Melbourne football club.
They're everywhere, the Tigers. I used to go for the Tigers when I was a kid. They used to break my heart every Friday night.
First of all, didn't know you went for the Tigers.
I did. I used to think we had the best forward line of all time with Richo and Brad Ottens. Ottens was... I hope this doesn't get back to him. You probably know Brad Ottens well. When he played for Richmond, he... And then he went to Geelong. He was the greatest ruckman of all time. So that just furthered my anguish as a Richmond fan growing up.
And you said in there, love watching this one. What I think is interesting to a lot of people who'd be listening to this is, what show do the players primarily watch?
Yep.
Or at least, what do you two like to watch? What's your favourite one? Secondly, which one do you like to appear on? Where you go, I had a good time there. I really enjoyed myself.
I watch a few. I don't mind the Monday night, some of the Monday night stuff. I generally try to catch 10 or 15 minutes of a few of them. I do really like Jared Waitley. I think he's very measured and he's very intelligent. So I watch a bit of his stuff, perhaps opposed to the man who sits beside him.
We're going to get to him in a second.
I like Footy Classified. I respect Caroline Wilson. I like the fact that she has strong opinions and she doesn't care about what people think. She voices them. She's clearly well connected. And then, the other one that Talking Footy is the other one, which is not too bad.
And
as
appearing
well.
On, is there one that, you know, because I've heard some people go, oh, you know, wouldn't want to go live on the Footy Show. I'd feel a bit like, where's this going to go?
It'd be tough to do the Footy Classified one, I reckon, because that's sort of your hard hitting. You know, Hutchie's not afraid to hit you between the eyes and same as Caro. So, yeah, that'd be a difficult one, I think.
What about you, Pods?
Currently, it's tough to watch a lot of footy shows because you watch a lot of footy as a coach. But I think I don't mind watching a piece of AFL 360 on a Monday when they get Chris Scott and Alan Richardson on. You just get to hear the coaches' language and what they're seeing in games. It's very superficial, but it's not bad to view. And appearing on, I used to love going on Before the Game, which is a Channel 10 show.
Yeah, that was a great show.
One of the best ever.
Yeah, it was the best footy show in the time. And
another producer of it, and he says, you are an absolute star. Always,
I love going on it.
Always love to work with you.
And they actually, all their jokes are pre-planned, and you sort of sit in the chair and almost cop it. But my first one was in 2010. It was the year when Gary Ablett was rumoured to be going to the Gold Coast, and the Gold Coast Suns had a billboard put up with a guy in a Gold Coast Guernsey with Gary Ablett's head on it in the Gold Coast saying he's coming. Anyway, there was a whole heap of uproar about that. Anyway, I went on to the Before the Game thing, and there was the Gold Coast Bowls Club, obviously debuted as a 28-year-old, had a guy bowling a bowl and my face on it saying...
It was a good show, that one. It's a shame pretty funny, it's not on anymore.
What I was going to bring up about that as well is, as a coach, I've had a lot of people say, do you reckon coaches, I mean, we all want to skip out on our homework occasionally, okay?
Yeah.
You ever let David King do your work for you? Where he's analysed the game and you think, that's a good point, I might raise that.
No. He actually sacks players on the spot, so I, as a player, I hope he's not in charge.
For me, Jared, he's got to go.
Yeah, he ended Mark Lacroix's career the other week on the couch, which is relatively harsh, I would have thought. I would like to think not James.
Never?
Well, no disrespect to David, but I've never watched any of his pieces he's done, and I think
who's the most switched on analyst in the game?
Probably.
So I'm not an opinion maker. Yeah, one of those guys in the room.
This is the real beef I have with. I'm going to call it beef. This is the beef I have with AFL analysts compared to NFL analysts. So, and I understand financially it's a different kettle of fish, but in America, those guys basically spend every waking hour watching film and studying football and knowing the game. Whereas a lot of our guys, they do this, they do a bit of that. They do all sorts of stuff. They're on radio or they're on TV. That's not their primary role. They just go in and do it because they've had great careers and great football people. That's where I think they could improve. I know it's a lot of football to watch, but they do it overseas and it works remarkably well. And that's why I feel the analysts in America are so damn well respected, because they put in the time and effort.
From my perspective, mate, I think the media play a really important role in our industry about communicating the message of the AFL and that. But at the end of the day, most of the stuff is pretty superficial. So when you're in a role like the one that JJ's in, or one that I'm in, or other people at our club, it's a lot more detailed than what you see externally. And I know we're still trying to find a good balance on how we actually communicate those messages. But at the end of the day, we're in a competitive industry where a lot of that stuff is our IP, so we can't really communicate a lot of it.
Next one on Footy Box. This is just you having a bit of
a sideways. We're still on Footy
Box.
No,
I've got a whole bunch of grabs here, which
is some good stuff.
We're going to link us through. So this is you discussing Sam McClure, who is on the Channel 7 show Talking Footy. This is your analysis of him.
Yeah, speaking of the Bombers, good evening, Darcy.
Who is that bloke? Had a little child on the show.
Injection.
I have had of my manager, my great manager, Paul Connors, decided it would be a good idea to start up a group text, which involves Sam McClure and myself. So been going back and forth with him on the fact that he's been called. He reckons he was called a little boy all week. It's something he's had to deal with before, and the fact it was on national TV hasn't helped the cause. Yeah, so that was a bit of fun. And as I said, we try not to take ourselves too seriously.
Well, you addressed Robbo before, and I like this about Robbo, and I want to get the story behind this.
All right.
This is
I met Robbo once. It went into the 360, and he had a can of Coke in his hand. He's right, and he shook my hand left-handed. Could not be bothered to just swap the cans.
So I thought we'd get JJ's guide to getting a handshake done right. So obviously that was a no-no.
Top four this week?
Well, look, I would have thought, firstly, you'd probably just slide the can into the left hand and shake hands normally. But Robbo was obviously busy that day and couldn't find the time to do so. But I believe he actually did that on two occasions, because I went into the studio that night with a friend of mine, and he swears black and blue that that happened to him and not me. And I said, well, I can promise you it happened to me. So I think Robbo's guilty on that on two accounts. So
that's just lazy.
Yeah, it's a little bit slack. But
what are you looking for? Perfect handshake. You got two, you know, alpha male blokes here. Do you look down on someone with a bad handshake?
You don't like the limp handshake, do you?
That's when the
you
worst.
We're evolving into the American handshakes anyway. How
good the noise is when you actually go.
What do you think of blokes that go for the on top? Are you the kind of man, if I put my hand on yours and I, you know, they turn you, the power play, do you like to turn back
really,
pods?
Yeah, I've never considered that.
What about the guys that like get real close with you, they grab you and they almost pull you in?
Yeah, because they've read Anthony Robbins. They're going, come on, mate, nail this handshake, Amos. You've got to prove that you're a big, strong, tough guy.
Chest out, eyes up.
Final grab. This is you just laying one on Lynchy.
They kept showing footage of when Wade tackled me.
You're a 6'3" tall forward and you get thrown around like a ragdoll. Just a little red-headed ragdoll.
He's dropped the hair in there.
That was the one that really erupted on Twitter, that hashtag redhead ragdoll. Everyone someone started that and it went absolutely bonkers. So,
as a fan, well done. It's just great to see a little bit of personality on there. And it's good. I hope they get that back
footy
a
box.
Lot. Because you have
it's on tonight, and I spoke with someone in the know, and apparently the players don't hold back, even more so than last week. So it should be some good viewing on the Channel 9 Footy Show, which was on last night.
All right, we're going to wrap this up just before we get to the top four and the Crows versus Swans. Fantasy draft, you did want to raise it.
Well,
what does it mean to you two over here?
It's a big couple of weeks in our world. I mean, JJ and I used to be in a same league. We aren't anymore, so we've got our separate leagues.
But I won that, and I got...
I
sort of went up.
You went from the championship to the EPL.
next so division. These guys have... you're in an eight-man league?
I'm in an eight-man league, and the reason I'm not in multiple leagues, I was in a few leagues, and I got sick of... So people may start tuning in if they don't follow fantasy football, fantasy sports, but I got sick of playing against my own players because I've got different, you can't draft the same players. So I got sick of cheering for one guy, but that's hurting me on another front with another team. So
do you have draft now, unlike the AFL one, when you do NFL draft, you can't have the same player. So it's like a proper real draft.
Yep.
Do you ever sit down as a group with all your laptops there?
You've got no idea.
No?
You've got no idea.
JJ's holding like his TV live show? Draft at his home on Saturday.
So ours is Saturday morning, and this is the some of the extent we've gone to. So I went to Officeworks on Anzac Highway and bought a whiteboard for $119 the other night.
Because doing that kind of research for your own game?
The offline draft. So everyone will sit there with all their stuff. I've got my little cheat sheet with my 205 players ready to go. Mark them off as they're drafted. One of our competitors is from Queensland, so he's flying his whole family down. He came down by himself last year. The family jumped on board. And we have Drew, who's from Alabama, American friend of ours who works at Coffeelosophy. And he makes great southern food. So he's on the barbecue at my place at 10 a.m. After the Saturday morning. And
what
he's cooking ribs, wings.
If you win, you're serious operators.
I'm glad you are. I did win last year. I beat Lynchy in the final. And I can tell you, I can assure you, the money is irrelevant. It's about the pride.
Absolutely.
It's more about the pride and the bragging rights. Every time we have a great WhatsApp group text, and every time anyone gets on top of me with banter, I'll just send the emoji of the trophy. That's it.
You can try and get that whiteboard $119 cost. Surely they will pay for that for you at least.
Well, you'd think so.
Get it off on tax.
You'd also think the boys would chip in, but funnily enough, they haven't.
You're hosting it, mate. Come on.
Who's the biggest tight ass in the club, by the way?
Tommy Lynch.
All right, JJ's top four. We're going to play that right now. What have you got for us this week, mate, before we do?
Quickly, I've got a parking ticket.
We'll roll with this thing.
JJ's top four.
I've gone a little left field this week. Not necessarily a top four, but four, a foursome anyway. So I've gone with retiring, returning, starting and leaving. Four things. Starting, and he's made it into the list. One is not like the others. He's made it into the list because he has just started. And I'd love to talk a little bit about him. He's Brian, and I don't know why he's called Brian, Alex Keith, who is just starting his AFL career. Now, quickly, Pods,
yep.
Providing it's above the belt. Now, I truly don't know. Why is he called Brian?
I've got no idea.
Well,
I was actually going to ask that during the week.
We give you the inside look.
Well, Alex Keith, who his first three games couldn't be more impressive as a tall defender, is everyone calls him Brian at the club, and I've just started calling him Brian. I've got no idea why, and Pods has got no idea why we call him Brian, but he is starting, and he is my starting because his start to his career has been
great game
superb.
Last week, particularly Pods, you said.
He played on Joey Danaher and did a pretty good job.
He did a very good job.
Under your stewardship, you take credit for a bit of that.
No. When players leave the race, mate, it's all up to them.
You know how much I big you up, by the way?
Do you?
Yeah, I was like, the people go, God, we were good in the back. So, yeah, it's Podsy. Like, what the hell is that Ford doing back there?
So that was starting. Leaving is Neymar. Wanted to touch on the fact that he's getting Are you a soccer man?
I am, massive.
$325 million to go from Barcelona.
To PSG.
Does he get all that money?
No, the club doesn't. I mean, I don't know what he signs, but it goes to the club.
But his manager gets a cut of it as well. He gets a cut of it.
Yeah, it depends on the deal he signs, but he might get a bit of that. Usually the transfer fee is between the clubs, but he gets a fair chunk of it. His salary would be mega.
Yeah. Wow. Returning, the great Wonder Mare, Winks. I cannot wait. And I'm telling you now, Saturday she's back. $1.06. So if you've got, I don't know, a couple of houses to put on her to win $1,000, go for it. But she is on the march towards her third straight Cox Plate. And I'll be trackside. I'll be up against the rail to watch that because she's a phenomenon. And retiring, I want to give kudos to one of my fellow Puma ambassadors, Usain Bolt.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with Zach Dawson.
Looking for a pair of new shoes.
I believe now 8-time gold medalist because one of his teammates in the relay was done for drugs. So he lost the triple treble.
What, in athletics?
Yes. So he got the triple treble, which no one had ever done, obviously. And then one of the guys in the relay team had been got a positive for drugs, so he lost one of those. But not the way we wanted him to go out. He got beaten. He got beaten twice, didn't he?
Yeah, he came third in the 100, and then they didn't win.
Oh, that's right. And he pulled the string.
Guy who beat him was the drug cheat, and he got booed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I just think he should have got on the podium. Could you imagine the guy at the drug cheat, and he should have just done Usain Bolt celebration as well because you're already the most hated man. Why not just rub
just,
it in?
Just, Mike, just,
you know, just if you're going to be
point
the
of
hated,
no return, you reckon?
Just be hated and go, you know what, I am.
Embrace the hate.
I beat him. I beat your hero and I did your celebration. How
so,
you like it?
Not the typical top four, but is my starting, leaving, returning, retiring for this week. And hopefully we're back for a final.
Good one, JJ. We're going to finish on Crows versus Swans. You said Alex Keith playing well. He might get a run on Buddy.
Ooh.
Big for him.
Yeah, Daniel Talia has played on Buddy in the past. Jake Lever, we've got down there as well, and Alex. So those guys will flip through Buddy, but also they've got that Sam Rood, who's one of the leading contested marks inside 50 this year. Tippo, I can hear the boos coming in now, and Sinclair, the sort of resting ruckman too. So they've got some tall forwards, and then they bang the ball in there. But I think one of the guys that I think from an Oppo scouting perspective really improved his game is probably Papley. A small crumbing forward, so you expect to see Luke Brown and Jake Kelly on him.
You must feel for this game as a player, great to get them right now. Just it's a real see where you're at because
yeah, it is a bit. I think it's a great yardstick for everyone who watches footy too to make their assumptions. I think we're both or us two are definitely the teams that are considered one and two at the moment, even though the latter doesn't necessarily suggest that. So I think people are looking for Friday night or tonight to see who they're going to back or follow for the finals and to win the premiership. So hopefully it's us. We're really excited. And, we can't wait to get stuck in. And once again, I know it's been wet this week, but there's no excuse for 50-plus thousand to not back in.
Best game of the year so far. Thanks very much for JJ and Pods coming in.
Thank
Sorry
you.
To Beck, who we are
yeah,
a little
Beck.
Late for.
Thanks, Beck.
Beck was there. Well done, Beck. <She's gone. laughs> And well done to everyone else who's been listening to this, supporting it, rating the podcast. Go to afc.com.au for more information. We'll catch you next week.